Reality TV isn't the only thing that's making something extraordinary out of the ordinary. Imagine this, hordes of strangers fighting in the streets of New York with pillows. Or this, thousands of people dancing in downtown London in total silence. These are just two examples of what are called flash mobs, seemingly random gatherings of complete strangers doing something completely out of the ordinary. Bill Wasik is a senior editor at Harper's Magazine and the inventor of the flash mob. So what exactly is a flash mob?
Well, a flash mob is a gathering, a physical gathering of people. They've been brought together by email or text message. They're not a part of any pre-existing group, but they're just hearing a call that goes out through what you might call a social network. You know, I forward it to you, you forward it to someone else, etc. You hear that call and you come together in a physical space for 10 minutes or less. Sometimes you do something silly or absurd, but the whole purpose is you just come together and then you disperse, 10 minutes or less.
Now, you're the guy who is said to have started all this. Did you know what was going to happen when you did the first one?
I had absolutely no idea. To me, I saw it as a sort of experiment in email communication. I had heard about some people who had written some email and suddenly it had gotten forwarded all around the world or what have you. And this was in, you know, in 2003 when the internet had become a pretty big part of our lives, but a lot of these viral phenomena were still really in their infancy. And I was just curious to see what would happen. So I basically created an anonymous email address called themobproject@yahoo.com. And I created an invitation to this first event and I forwarded it to myself. And then I forwarded it from myself to all of my friends. It said, you've been invited to join the Mob Project, a project which gathers an inexplicable mob in New York City for 10 minutes or less. And it had a frequently asked questions section, which consisted of one question, which was, Q, why would I want to join an inexplicable mob? And A was, because tons of other people are doing it. So the sort of joke of it was, the premise was, everybody's coming out there, including myself, just to see what's going to happen.
It's just, it struck me as you were talking, it's kind of the flip of that old song, we're here because we're here because we're here because we're here. It's, everybody does it because everybody's doing it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And to a certain extent, that's both cynical, but it speaks to the social urge. I mean, we're social creatures, and part of the reason why we like to take part in faddish phenomena is that we like to have something to talk about with each other.
Well, but back to the practical for a moment. You sent this to a bunch of friends, what, 50 people or something?
Yeah, like 60 people, something like that.
And so how many people showed up at the event?
Well, it's impossible to say because the very first flash mob attempt was broken up by the New York City Police Department.
Were they invited?
Well, apparently someone forwarded it to them, so I guess they were a part of someone's social network, if you will. What happened was in the first email invitation, I had said, come to this particular store. It was called Claire's Accessories. You know, it was a chain accessory shop where they sold, you know, barrettes and scrunchies. And so sure enough, we got there and they wouldn't let anybody come inside the store. They wouldn't let anybody even stand in front of the store. You know, they really, you know, were taking this seriously.
Well, you got a lot of attention. You did this. It didn't succeed the first time, but you did it, what, 7 times, 8 times?
Yeah, so there were 7 successful mobs. You know, we went all over the place. We took over a shoe store and pretended to all be tourists, kind of talking on our cell phones about how great the shoes were. You know, we went to the top floor of the Toys R Us, where there's this kind of giant animatronic dinosaur, and we pretended that the dinosaur was like a god to us, and whenever it would roar, we would all moan and cover our faces with our hands. And so I would try to have them in like big chain stores or in a big hotel near Grand Central Station where we all lined this giant banister around and kind of just stared downward at the people in the lobby. So there were maybe 3 or 4 people just sitting around in the lobby having a drink or that sort of thing. And then suddenly they looked up and saw this giant row of eyes just looking down at them.
So what happened? I mean, flash mobs took off. They went around the world. They started to happen other places. Obviously, you didn't set those up, or at least seems obvious.
No, I didn't. You know, I mean, basically, you know, I started getting emails from just about the first successful flash mob. It got posted on a few blogs and a few news organizations started picking up on it. And then I started to get these emails. Are you going to do them in San Francisco, or are you going to do them in Chicago, or et cetera? And if not, can I do them? And my response was, it's not much of an idea to get together for 10 minutes or less and then disperse. I have no intellectual copyright over it. And I encourage you to do it. And here's some advice about how I'd go about it. And off you go. And so after a while, I went around the world, I believe, on every continent except Antarctica.
Wow. Well, you know, part of what's interesting to me about this is how related to the internet, what a modern phenomenon this is in some ways. I mean, years ago, I suppose you could have had a telephone tree and gotten people together, but the internet is so much more effective in accomplishing something like this. But also the country is more interested in these real things. I mean, you've got all the people playing World of Warcraft on
right.
the internet, getting together to play games. You've got people competing on television to borrow babies or to live in a house. Is that, do you think, at all related to the flash mob? Is it the interaction with real people that's what we really crave?
I think they're all related in the sense that, you know, the internet, I mean, I hate to use a word like empowering, but there is a sense in which anybody can create a media spectacle, you know, whether to create it, like to orchestrate it like I did, or to become a celebrity themselves. And I think reality TV is tapping into the same kind of impulse. You know, for example, part of what made the flash mob so interesting was the idea that I forwarded it to my social network, to my 60 friends, and then they forwarded it to their friends. And in doing so, they, to a certain extent, are taking the project on as their own. It isn't a single voice like a radio station or a TV station beaming out to thousands or millions of people, the one telling the many what they're supposed to be watching or doing or listening to, et cetera. But it is this distributed network of people, and everybody has a say. And that principle, I think, is at work in the flash mob and why so many people responded to it. And I also think it's at work to a certain extent in reality TV. You know, the idea that the celebrity today could be anybody. It could just be somebody off the street who gets on one of these shows and distinguishes themselves by their crazy personality, and suddenly everybody wants to know them and be them, etc. So insofar as there's a connection, I think it's that.
Bill Wasik is a senior editor at Harper's Magazine and the editor of the new book, Submersion Journalism, Reporting in the Radical First Person.